All right, Baruch Hashem. Okay. So it was kind of the kavana last week that we'd make it to this week. So, Shechianu. Which is why we were looking at the piece of bracha, right? How chachma is, we started this whole piece with, there's levels of looking at reality, and start on the outside, we go in, and we want to go all the way up, right? And at the very, very top is a connection to the infinite goodness and love and connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the Aleph, it's the top of the Yud, right? And then, but it exists on all the levels all the way down. And last week we looked at the Maharals that said, it's not just you're going to feel good because you're going to have a deeper perspective, but it's actually going to shift your ability to connect to flow in this world. That bracha actually comes from the vision. So when you develop your lens on life in that way, yes, you're going to be deeper and you're going to be smarter and you're going to be intellectually more sound, and then you're going to be more spiritual and you're going to feel good and all that. But it actually changes the world. It changes your life and it changes the people around you. And not this week, but God willing, if we have a chance next week, we'll then take this whole thing and bring it back into good. It gives you your own spiritual development. It brings flow into the world. And then what you can do for your students and the people that you're with in your life when you're a mashpia, right? All three of those areas are going to be affected by the same yisod. So we saw the Maharal that said, wealth is not about how much money you have or how many things you have, but about an abundance mindset. And the second piece we saw was the river, right? Like you're a stream attached to a bigger river, and then that river flows. So long as it continues to give, the bigger river will flow into it. And then Kenny asked the question. He said, okay, so it's about giving, right? Because what if you give and you overgive and it's just about giving and then you end up with nothing and then you're poor, right? So that is where we want to pick up today, which is
poverty,
no, which is, how do we get there, right? The answer to that question was no, it's not as much about the giving as much as it's about something else you have that allows you to give, right? It is that deeper connection, that deeper perspective that allows you to live with more free hands as you walk through the world. And it's not just about money. Like Aaron was pointing out last week, this is also about your time and energy. This is about your relationships. This is how you relate to everything in your life. It's going to be a reflection of this same reality. So we're looking at Ayin Tov. I think I've spelled it wrong. It says Ayin Tov, so which is not a word. But
thanks,
we're looking at Ayin Tov and living with a lens of Chachma and why they're the same thing. And just outside, Ayin is the part of your body that relates to Chachma. Right, this is known to you already, right? Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven, Chazal say, comes from the language of Re'ia. Reuven, he's going to be the first, so that's going to be Chachma. Shimon is Shmia. Shimon, right, is going to be Bina, right? Levi means to like accompany someone, like in a Levaya, you accompany somebody, and that's going to be Das, so Chachma Bina Das. That's the structure you get right from the beginning. It's bringing together. Levi is Das, it's connection.
Bringing Chachma Bina.
Yes. So that's one area where you see it, but we're going to see it all over the place. So the way you look at the world is always going to be a level of Chachma. And of course, as we know, there's layers to how you can see the world. So if you see a world that is cut off from a deeper reality, it's cut off from life, what would you say about your eye?
Bad.
It's bad. It's an ayin ra. It's a ra ayin. But if you have an eye that sees all the way up and sees a deeper world, right, the way that you're perceiving Chachma Sabriya, you have an Ayin Tov. So that's why we're going over here for the Hemshech of this idea. And famous Pasuk comes up in several Gemaras. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, Tov Ayin, Hu Yevorach, the one with the good eye, he is blessed, Shaykh Tabracha, Kinasan Melach Mo Lidal, because he gives from his sustenance to the poor. You guys rip the pasuk apart here.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean from his sustenance?
Yeah, what is an ayah? His.
Okay.
The eye is the thing that's giving from its sustenance. I don't know, eyes had sustenance.
Just by perceiving something in a certain way, you're already giving.
Okay. Meaning you're saying upshot. But what are you coming to answer? Well, there's a clear problem in the pasuk. Right? Yeah, we all see the problem in the pasuk.
How are you blessed? Like, being blessed is the one who loses out. Like, I thought being blessed is when you gain.
Okay, good kasha. Not what I was thinking, but yeah.
How is looking at something giving over, giving
good
your bread?
The resha and the seifa are not in alignment. The first half of the pasuk is, if you got a good eye, you're going to be shaykh to bracha. The second half of the pasuk is, when you do a maisa chesed, right, that's good. So is it the nesina, right? And when you're nosein melach moladal, you can give over to somebody. But the first part of the pasuk says, no, it's that you have a tov ayin, right? That you're seeing the world good. That's what gives you bracha. Which part of it is the part that gives you bracha? What's happening in the pasuk? Yeah, Avi? Is that a face of an answer or a face of a question?
No, we're good.
Okay. So, yeah? So, we just want to look at the Maharal here. So, this is a Maharal in Nesiv Asolam, in Nesiv Ayin Tov. And if I recall, I thought this comes up in Brachos also. Correct me if I'm wrong, because you guys all just learned Brachos. But who should the Balabais give the Koshel Bracha to?
Yeah.
To his wife? Not that.
No, to be mezamen. Who should do the zimun?
So you can bless him.
The guest. Okay, which guest? How do you know which guest to give it to?
Oldest,
most special.
Oh, okay. So okay.
Yeah, the most chachma, the most
one with the best ayin tov.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah. I just assumed that was it.
Yeah, good. That's a good one. It's mefurish and sota. I thought it was in brachas also, but I don't remember. So that's this gemara over here.
It says that you should give out your bread because you have an ayin tov for the lechem. Something without the ayin tov.
No, that's don't give it to your guests because they'll have an issue with like who should I give the pieces to and all that stuff.
Right, this is at the end. You're going to give the koshel bracha, he's going to do the zimun, he's going to lead for you. Who do you choose, right? You've got, so I know how we choose, right? Because we want to make everybody feel good and not make, we want to feel like everybody has an ayin tov. And really, when you have Machon Yaakov and family over, everyone here has an ayin tov, so you can't lose, right?
If you don't feel like everyone has an ayin tov, that means
maybe you have an ayin tov, right? So everyone's got an ayin tov, so we'll go by the older, so then we'll start with the kohen and the kohen. But let's say there's no kohanim, right? So the Gemara says, Mefurish, give the kos to the person with an ayin tov. Beperek elu ne'emarin, in sota lamed ches, amarish lakish, ein nosnin kos levarech ela letov ayin. You should give the koshel bracha to the one who has a tov ayin. Shene emar tov ayin hu yivorech. Because it says in the Pasuk in Mishlei, a person who has a good eye, he will be blessed. Al tikre yivorech ela yivorech. Don't read it. Let me get drasha. Don't read it. He'll be blessed, but he should make the bracha. He should be the one to make the bracha in your home. Adka. So that's the Gemara in Sota. Uperish ze. What's the pshat? Ki tov ayin hu bal bracha. A person who has an ayin tov, he is an owner of bracha. Kamosha his ba'er, like he explained, v'roi l'seis lo koshel bracha levarach Hashem yisbarach. He should be the one to make the bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he has a special connection to bracha. When he looks at things, he sees the good, and that's going to bring a special flow into the world. Aval mishi yeshlo tsar ayin, but somebody who has an eye that is narrow, ein roi l'ses lo koshel bracha. You shouldn't give him the koshel bracha, obviously, because he's not going to bring bracha to the table. V'im eino tov ayin, ein roi el koshel bracha klal. If a person doesn't have a tov ayin, he's not really connected to the whole concept of what it means to have a koshel bracha, right? Which, of course, this is one of the reasons why when you have a koshel bracha, what you do is you pour it and then you let it overflow. There's this idea of being connected to abundance, right? And that's why we do that. But if you have a tsar ayin, it means you yourself are not connected to the concept called koshel bracha. A koshel bracha means there's a kli, and I see how the kli can hold all the blessing and it overflows. Ki eno davik bebracha, a person who has a tsar ayin, he's not connected to the flow and the blessing of life. How can he be involved in this blessing to Hashem? V'dakia ayin shehu tov. When your eye is good, hu be'atzmo koshel bracha. When you have an ayin tov, you are a walking koshel bracha in the world. The eye itself is the koshel bracha. The fact that we hold a cup and you put wine in it, that's very nice. The koshel bracha is the perspective you have when you look at it. That's what allows it to continue to overflow. Ki ayin shayach lomar bo, because by an eye you can say it's male, you can say it's full. Kasher yesh lo ayin tov, when you have a good eye. V'hefech zeh shayach bo chaser ayin, and he goes on to say, when you look at the world in a way of scarcity and lack, so we say, oh, you're seeing things in an empty way. So when you see the world as full, that's you being an ayin tov, and that all starts with your eyes. That all starts with how you perceive reality. If you see the world as lacking, so you yourself are not a koshel bracha. You're a person who walks around and your cup is empty. Your kli is missing. So there is no overflow. And therefore, you're not shaykh in a spiritual sense of this idea. Yeah, I see you're sitting there with a question.
Yeah, sorry. If this is an appropriate answer now, then for sure. But what clearly there's a filik between someone as an ayin tov and an ayin tzar. But what causes an ayin tzar? It almost sounds like the default should be an ayin tov. Right? I mean, what is it that's blocking you from seeing
that? Awesome. And then maybe with this, we'll even go back and just answer our question on the pasuk, and we'll see it expressed as we go through the makoros. But I would say the exact opposite. You know, I did a TED talk, and in that talk, I said people should have an ayin tov. That's basically what I said. You know, you're good, world's good, close up shop, everybody be happy. Kumbaya, Mashiach is here. Yeah, like that. That's how it should be. And the interesting thing is that for people who resonate with that message already, they're like, yes. And if you don't resonate with that message, you say no. Meaning, like, the idea that that should be true is so far removed from life. Because if you see life with a negative eye, so you would say, oh, you naive little religious, blessed
hippie,
there you go. That's not true. You got to go through the school of hard knocks and see. You know, I met with somebody yesterday who said, you know, my grandfather, he would look at you and he would say that you have a naive perspective, and that's not how life is. And you know, it's life is challenging and hard and this, that, and the other. And I looked at him and I said, was he a happy person? And he said, no. I said, you're taking advice from the wrong person. maybe his way worked for him, but that's the product you get. Right? You get what you see, and that's the life you get to live. Now, you go speak to happy people, they'll all agree. All the happy people are in this place. We're like, there's opportunity, and more can come, and we live in possibility, and there's potential, and things can work out, and you know, and the more you move in that direction, things will work out. Wow, really happy people, right, who live in that space that can move through challenging times. So it's a chiddush to say we start there. What do we normally do? Like we said, there's layers to life. So I normally look at the world, and what you see is what you get. So if I didn't know that maybe there's more to life, that there is meaning or purpose or intention, or if I didn't know that things can get better, what do you mean? Life is hard, and there's pain, right? And it hurts to grow, and some relationships are really difficult, and there's trauma in the world. So I wouldn't have a natural ayin tov. I look at the world and I see tigers ripping up deers. And I'm like, wow, this place is crazy.
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
It's a scary world. You know what I mean? Like, someone could catch a virus. It's called coronavirus, and the whole world has to shut down. Like, you're telling me the world is good? Like, have you turned on CNN or Fox or whatever? Like, doesn't feel good all the time. It doesn't look good. So I'd say the opposite. Naturally, people don't have a tov ayin. It has to be developed and cultivated. Some people may have a natural affinity to it, right? Some people start closer to it, but we have to get there. We have to move into that space and understand and experience that there's more to life than what's on the surface. So
you're saying that an ayin tzar is a tzar ayin tzar, but it's caused by the inability to look beyond the surface.
What does tzar mean?
No.
So it's a narrower perspective. There's a broader perspective where I see more than just what I see with my eyes. and I see a deeper world. At first, I understand that there's a world of ideas, and then beyond a world of ideas, there's a godly world, right?
Right.
So I don't just take things at face value. I go deeper. That requires an eye and toe.
That's interesting, because you said last time when we were talking about money, right? It's like, okay, if I give, the more I'll have to give. It's not that...
No, this is answering that question. It's not that if I give, the more I'll have to give. It's that if I have that perspective, the easier it is for me to give.
Ah, okay.
That's the pasuk, by the way. Let's go back to the answer.
Yeah.
Tov ayin hu yivorach, right? Ki, because I'll see this in his action. I know that he has a tov ayin because he's nosin melach muladal, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, the more you give, the more you get. It's the fact that you have a tov ayin means you're shayach to bracha. You're the stream that's connected to the river, right? You are that. How do you get to the place where you can give with joy and know that, like, it's all good, there's abundance? It's because your starting point is tov ayin. Things are going to work. Hashem's going to take care of me. It's the right thing to do right now. This person needs my time. This person needs my energy. This person needs my money. This person needs my safer. Whatever it is, when you're able to be nosen melachmo, right? Lechem is that which gives you sustenance. Whatever it is. So if what's giving you sustenance is your time, your energy, your money, your stuff, whatever. Whatever your lechem is, when you're able to let go of that, right? And give to a lower place, so that shows me that you're connected to something deeper. There's not as much fear holding you back, so you have a tight grip. And of course, if we're going to be super Kabbalistic about this and get the Yesod really clear, what we want is Tov Ayin Hu Yevorach, because he's Nasen Melach Mo Lidal. So Tov is going to be the highest point, right? Good, absolute good. What is good?
Oh, he just asked me that.
Yeah,
it's being connected to Hashem.
Right, and that is good, right? What is Hashem's? What is one of Hashem's name?
Tov.
Hatov. Hatov Ametiv. So that's the top.
Where's that name?
Huh?
Where do we see that name?
All over the place.
That's like Ramchal. In Pesukim and Tanakh anywhere? You see that?
No, that's not Ramchal. That's in Shmon Esrei.
Okay.
Right. Hatov Shimcha. Your name is the good.
Do we have a pasuk or anything? That's definitely a good source. But is there anything else?
Probably fine.
Okay.
Right. Tov Hashem Lakol. Right. It's a pasuk in Ashrei
in
Tehillim. So Tov is going to be our connection to the top up here, like absolute good. So that'll be at the top of our spheros chain. Ayin is the way we see, so that'll be our chachma, right? And depending on how we're looking at it, your chachma and your bina, because they're usually connected, right eye, left eye, not to get too complex. And that, when you're connected to the tov, when your eye's connected to the tov, it allows you to give from lachmo, right? That's a vav, your lechem vav, me lachmo, from the lechem of your vav, which is your flow, that's the six, right? Six are the six spheros of Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzachot, Yisod. It's everything that's you're taking from the higher world and drawing it down to where? To Dal, right? Like the word Dalet is poor. That's Malchus. That's down here. So what the Pasuk is telling you is when you connect all the way up to the top, you can bring a flow all the way down to the bottom, right? That's the setup of the Pasuk. And that's what we're going to see as we go through here. And it requires seeing that special place that we called Chachma, which is the koach of potential, the koach of energy of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of spiritual energy that exists everywhere as potential. So instead of looking at things as they are, we look at things as they might be, right? So instead of getting stuck in a negative situation, right? We don't believe in Murphy's Law, right? Like, it's always going to go wrong. I'm always going to get the wrong lane in the traffic. It's exactly the opposite. You always get the right lane.
Or the left lane,
right? Like you're always in the right place at the right time. There's no accidents. There's no mistakes because you're not living in what it looks like in front of you. You're living in if it's happening. So then what, right? That means there's potential here for something new to be created in this space, right? Okay.
Can you just clarify Tov different than you said? Tov is the closest to source, but I thought so. Well, I guess what's the difference between Tov and Chesed or like it's.
It's a Zohar asked this question explicitly. So what's the difference between Tov and Chesed? Did we go through that? The Ramak brings it in the Pardes Rimonim, and over there, his explanation of this is when I say Tov, I'm talking about it at the Shoresh. And I say Chesed, I'm talking about how that Tov comes down. I'm looking at the same thing, but as it's moving. From, what's Chesed? Chas, Dalad. I have Rachmanus on the poor, meaning on the one that's needing it, the one that's missing. So Chesed is, I'm compassionate towards where it needs to go. So it's actually moving. It's the direction from up to down, where Tov means I'm just seeing how it exists, pure good potential, like as it is or as it can be, right? So I'm looking at the source as opposed to what happened. I'm not looking at the exchange, meaning I look at you and I say, Jacob's such a good person, even though you didn't do anything. Somebody else sees you give a piece of bread to a poor person or tzedakah, and they go, wow, he's such a good person, because they saw the chesed. Chesed was the movement from the tov to reality, whereas tov is the essential piece that's the untouchable goodness.
Isn't that meitiv, though? I mean, the meitiv, it sounds like meitiv is chesed.
Meitiv is chesed.
And we're saying chas under the dalet, but chas, I thought, is like, it's. I thought it's even to those who aren't poor. Chesed goes to even those who aren't needy. It's to anybody. You don't even need it. Doesn't matter. That's rachamim. You need, I'll give it to you. But chesed is even when you don't.
That's right. But dal means everywhere that can receive. That's what dal is. Dal is wherever it can be received, that's what I'm giving over.
Okay.
So you're saying that a true tov ayin sees the inherent goodness in a person without them doing anything.
Yep. I see inherent goodness in the person. I see inherent goodness in life. I see that before
you even met him. You see him on the street, you see, this guy's amazing. This guy's great.
You know those people, like your father, who walk around and, apple doesn't fall from the tree, Baruch Hashem, that just like, I love everybody. I mean, like, that my starting point is I love everybody. Until you cross me, and then I have to work out what to do with what comes next, right? But, like, my starting point is you must be good. Like, and again, you may say, well, that's super naive. Not everybody's good. And the answer is not everybody acts good. Because not everybody lives with the chesed part, but the fact that you come from this deeper reality and you're so much more than your body of actions. You are so much. If you were only your body of actions, we wouldn't believe in tshuva. We wouldn't believe in change. You're not just your body of actions. Your body of actions are just where you are now. Maybe they were where you were, but they are not an indication of where you'll be, because you're shaykh to infinite potential.
Yeah. Is there a chiluk in the kind of chesed? Meaning chesed shalom, just chesed. Meaning, say it's like you're giving up your lachmo strictly for the sake that you want to be seen giving up your thing.
So it could be that that's not, you missed the tov ayin part. So maybe you're not going to get the bracha. The bracha comes from the tov ayin part of it, not from the, the giving part of it. You'll still get mida keneged mida. You'll still get schar for giving chesed.
But
bracha, right? That you're taking something from wherever it is to expand, right? That's what is bracha. Bracha is when. Again, and we'll take this into Shabbos with us, which is with Yaakov Avinu, who's giving all his kids brachas, and what does he do?
He curses their anger.
Huh?
Are you talking about it?
But how does he get to each bracha? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. what, he gives a different bracha to everybody. Why doesn't he just say bracha v'etzlacha, buhu? Right? Buha.
Right?
Buha.
Just talks about them, describes them?
Yeah, like he like goes into like why is he doing that?
Each one needs potential.
That's right. He's saying like, he's got the tov ayin. And so he looks up and he goes, oh, you'll be great if you can work on this. And you're going to be great if you can work on that. Because really, you're great. And there's just one part that we need to be metakin, right? Like, you've got so much. And so he's giving them bracha to go in all these places. That's why, this is the Gra and Mishle says, how old did Yaakov live?
137.
Almost?
48.
Huh? 147. Good, yeah. It's Gematria of Ayin Tov.
Really?
I thought we said Yosef is Ayin Tov.
So I think they're both. But just levels. Just. Yeah. Is it?
Oh, I'm not.
You're doing it? You're just writing it down? Yeah.
I'll do it. It's 70.
Yeah, it is.
120, 130.
The Gruz says it, so.
Okay, yeah. It's not.
It's 147. So you're right. And he says that Yaakov had this trait, and he says what's even more interesting is how many years did he spend in Mitzrayim at the end of his life?
70.
Nope.
17.
That's right. So he says ayin, or the amount of years he lived outside, and then tov are the last 17 years of his life. Right? Because that's when he was able to see it all come together. Right? And this is why in this week's parsha, again, Yosef HaTzadik turns to everybody, and this is one of my favorite psukim in the Torah, and he says, right, Yaakov passes away, all the brothers come over to Yosef, and they're afraid that now that Yaakov's gone, Yosef is going to have a tzar ayin, but Yosef doesn't. Yosef is a hemshech of Yaakov, and he keeps his ayin tov, and he turns to them and he says, you guys got it all wrong. You think it was I'm repressing emotion from you? I'm not repressing emotion. I'm not like angry and was waiting for Yaakov to die to get rid of all you guys. Atem chashavtem alai ra'a. You thought to do bad on me. Ve'alokim chashva letova. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the whole thing was going to be for good. And I knew that the whole time. And that's what, I mean, this, and this is like the epic ending to Sefer Bereishis, is all the stuff, this whole hemshech of all of reality that you think is going this way and that way. And Yosef says, no, don't you, if you understood our Abba, Abba saw everything from a lens of Tov Ayin. Abba was able to see the depth of reality. Abba doesn't see me for over 20 years. And then when we finally, you know, embrace each other, what does he do? He says Shema. He's like, oh, this is an opportunity to go deeper, right? Like Abba lives in this. He's like, and I know that everything is Latov, right? And the beauty is he doesn't say, and Hashem Chashva Latova. He says, Elokim Chashva Latova. The din. Mm-hmm. The din. You thought it was din. It was Latova. Everything is Latova. Mm. Right? This is like Parshas Gamzu Latova, which is this Nakuda, right? Tov Ayin Hu Yivorach. If you can get that and know nothing is without meaning, nothing is without purpose, nothing is without intention, everything is working out in the greatest way, right? That's how we want to live. That's how you're going to have bracha in your life. That's how you're going to be able to be the stream and flow, because you know that, like, if it's the right thing to do, you live in alignment with Ratzon Hashem and it's going to work out. And you look for the opportunities of how things are going to go. He says, that's the type of person you want to make a bracha on your coast, because they're a walking coast shell bracha. Everywhere they go, there's going to be flow, which is why you see Yosef HaTzadik is, he's a coast shell bracha. Everywhere it goes, it turns into bracha. He goes here, there, they get bracha. Goes there, they get bracha. Everywhere he goes, saves Mitzrayim, saves Potiphar, saves the brothers. He's just a coast shell bracha everywhere he goes, because he's Yud Sof, right? Like connected all the way up, and he can see how the Yud fits everywhere in the world, all the way out here. So that's his big vision. Okay.
Ayin 70, 17. We had 17 was how long Yaakov was in Mitzrayim.
Those are the last 17 years of her life where he sees how everything made sense. This is why everything had to happen the way it did.
And 17 is what?
Tov.
Oh, it's Tov. I thought we were going Ayin. Thank you. Okay.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Ayin okay. Is 130.
Right. Huh? Ayin's 130. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So are you saying that's why Yaakov cursed Shimon and Levi's anger?
Yeah.
Because he wanted to remove the action and the Maisa, which is Bina and Das, and then just remain to just pure Tov.
Yeah.
It's the sin, not the sinner.
That's exactly it. Okay, and then just to tie us back all the way up into Chachma here, and then if we have time, Baruch Hashem, thank God. Oh, it's so nice when there's time. So, okay, this is the Rekhanati, okay? So he's the I don't know if you pronounce this Rekhanati or Rekhanti. It's like Italian or something. I don't know exactly how you pronounce that. But he has an amazing story, just to give context for who he is. An amazing, amazing Mekubal wrote on the whole of Torah. It's really beautiful, gorgeous. And the lore goes that he was a Talmud Chacham, but like just could not wrap his mind around Kabbalah, like just didn't go. And he davened for like 50 years for like the Mayanos to open up, for the springs to like let it come, and like didn't come, but he just kept learning, kept doing what he was doing. And supposedly when he turned 80, he had this like massive dream, some big hasaga came and like opened up his mind, and like he woke up the next day and knew all of Kabbalah. Like that's the Maisa that they say. And anyway, his Sefer is like unbelievable. It's like you read it, like how do you know all of that? Like it's all there. So either that is what happened, or that is a great cover up, man. Okay, so he quotes from, he wants to know over here two things. One, what's the biggest bracha?
Life.
Good, right? Reality, experience. That's the biggest bracha. And so we're going to look at the beginning of creation, right? Bereishis. So we want to know why is the letter Beis the first letter of the Torah? And second, why is the first word Bereishis? What does Bereishis have to do with anything? And I didn't bring it over here, but Bereishis translates as in the beginning, right? Something like that. But if you look at the Targum, right? The Targum Yonasan and others translate Bereishis as B'chachmasa bara Elokim, because Reishis is Chachma. Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. So B'Chachma Bar Elokim, that's really how they understood the first world. The first word is that Chachma is that first movement from infinite to something. Right? We've moved out from pure potential to one step into life. And so Chachma is that first step. And he's going to say, this is what Bracha is. U'B'Sefer HaBahir, in the Sefer HaBahir, which, if I recall, this is the Kabbalah Sefer written by Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, I think, or Avram Avinu. I don't remember. I have to look it up. No. Sefer Yetzirah is, I think, our Avram Avinu Mesorah. And this is, I'm pretty sure this is Rav Nechunya ben Hakana.
My biblical, academic biblical class.
Yeah. There you go. Mipnei ma maschil bebeis. Why do we start the Torah with the letter beis? Kamo de maschil bracha. Just because it's the way that bracha starts with the letter beis. Now, what he did in those five words is save you a good couple pages in the Zohar, where the Zohar goes through every letter that it could have started with. Starting with the letter tav, saying, the letter tav came to Hashem and said, create the world with me. And Hashem said, why? And he said, tough luck. It's nice. And he said, why? And he says, because with me, I think he says, there's the word like tamim. And Hashem says, great, but it's also another word. I forget the word that doesn't good that starts with tough, so I'm not going to start with you. And then the letter shin came to Hashem and said, create the world with me, because shin, I think maybe he says shalom. And Hashem says, no, it's also the shin is sheker. So he says, okay, not you. And then the resh, and it goes through every letter, this like dialogue with Hashem. Create the world with me because there's something good about me. And Hashem says, yes, that's true, but it also leads to this thing. And it goes every letter until it gets to the letter beis. And the letter beis says, you know, create the world with me because beis is bracha. And Hashem says, good idea. The world is a bracha, right? And we're going to create the world with a beis.
I never even got the Aleph.
So then the Hemshech of the Zohar over there is, and then Hashem turned the Aleph and said, like, you know, why didn't you come? And he said, we already created the world with the letter Beis. And he said, oh, you know, you're such an Anav. You know, we're going to, the world is created with a Beis, but it's going to be Metukan with an Aleph, because we're going to start the real world, which is the Torah, with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which is the Aleph, right? And so we're going to bring that forward. So the world, the bracha of going from one to many is what bracha is. When you go from absolute oneness to anything more than that, from unity to duality, that's what bracha is. And that's why the gematria of Baruch is
222.
Right, that's this idea of like constant, like flow. Like it's not just one anymore. It's complete flow. So bracha is, we're moving from just oneness to two-ness, from just from within, we're moving to without. And he says, Ein bracha ela chachma. Right? You want bracha, got to be connected to chachma. Like it says, Bereshis bara Elokim, b'chachma bara Elokim. U'betfilas Rab Nechunya ben Akana, in his tefillah, he says, Ata shalit v'hadar ha-sfira ha-shnia. You create beauty with your second sfira. What's the second sfira? Shehu chachma, which is chachma. Hanikras bracha. Right? It's chachma is called bracha. Misapekes meshefa hamakor hamizbarech, because it gets its sipuk, gets its flow from the flow of source hamizbarech, from God's flow. Which again, when you look at the vision of where chachma sits, when we don't have to go all the way back to those beginning shirim, but when we're talking about chachma, we're saying we're going from infinite. Then there's physical, there's something in between. And the first step to go from pure godly potential to this world is Chachma. And that's why it's the place of Bracha. Because it actually takes infinite and says, well, how do we turn this into something? How do we take all this potential and make it something real? You have to first go through this channel called Chachma.
Right, that's like Chesed, like you're talking about before.
Yeah, and that's why, like, if you have an Ayin that's Tov, right, if you have an Ayin that sees how, wow, everything has all of this and it's connected to something higher, right, so it will translate as a flow in your life. Right? So, putting this back over here. Yeah.
And the, it seems like, by the fact that the Gimel's are in that brings that up, meaning, why is the Bay's not enough, right, like that overflow should be. I mean, why is it not the end result, right? I mean, you start from unity, and then you have the duality. Now it's out there. You have it. You have that which to be in touch with. So why do you need the gimel to kind of like reunify, so to speak.
Beautiful. So, and this is obviously Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet is the structure of this. Aleph is going to be the oneness. Beis is the expression of that oneness into these two parts, which will be, you know, Chachma / Chachma Bina. And then Gimel is the flow, Gomel, is to flow down to Dalet, which is that can receive it. So again, that's our whole pasuk here. That's the whole ten spheros. That's Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's all of reality. Is this flow from Aleph all the way down to Dalet, right? Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet is the flow of life. It's the same way that to create anything, you need two creations. First, you create it in Machshava, and then you create it in Maisa. So Chachma is the first creation,
right?
But then you need to go out and do it. So Gomel is now the active movement from concept or from energy potential to flow and in doing in the world.
So Chachma is a creation.
Yeah, right. First. First creation, Bereishis.
So right, so that duality is
you see it there already. Because it's not, it's now a thought. It's not actually pure potential.
Right, but pure potential is concretized in a thought.
Yes.
Okay, so thought is physical, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we said there's three layers, right, to Chachma, right?
Right,
so
right, right.
That middle layer is kind of like the essence of the Chachma, which is now, it's not here yet, but it's not pure infinite light where nothing can exist in its right. way, right?
Awesome. What?
You grouped the Beis is Chachma and Bina,
mm-hmm.
you said the Gimel is the Vav, and then and then Dalet is Machos?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what's the Gimel to Bracha, meaning? In practicality, what's the relation from meaning?
No sin. You're gonna go.
That's the giving it over, right?
Yeah. No sin.
Wait, we said Gimel is above.
Conceptually, Gimel means to give over, right? To be Gomel. So in this way, in Shem Hashem, right? In the four letters, the Vav is the flow down. So that's like the Gimel. It's like a Gomel. It's conceptually doing the same movement from having something and bringing it down. So when you have something and you give it over, you're conceptually doing the same movement. But no, a gimel is not a vav. But when we're comparing it, when you're lining them up over here to see how conceptually they're working together, so that's why they're the same. Yeah?
Nice.
Okay. So back inside. So this is a famous Gemara now in Tainus, which, again, is related to our Yosef HaTzadik. But he starts like this. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein HaBracha Metsuya, Ela B'davar Hasami Mina Ayin. Have you ever seen this Gemara before?
Mm-hmm.
Bracha is only found, bracha only exists in something that's hidden from the eye. Shene'emar Yitzav Hashem Itcha, God will charge for you, command towards you as a bracha, the bracha will become coming towards you, be'asamecha, in your granary, and it makes a drasha, asamecha, from like the language samui, right, that's hidden, asamecha.
This
is in Bava Metzia also, yeah, and it's in several places regarding, over here we're speaking about the granary, in other places we're going to speak about it, vis-a-vis Yosef HaTzadik, that's why they were blessed to be kedagim, like a fish, right? Because they're not, ayin is not sholetis behem, right? The eye doesn't see them. And again, it's this idea of being above, it's this week's parsha, right? We say, ben porat Yosef, ben porat ale ayin. If you have the sheets from last week, I did put it there. So you see where the pasuk is. I think it's the bottom of one of those sheets. Right.
Maybe the last one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So this is the pasuk that's the bracha of Yosef HaTzadik that Yaakov gives him. And Chazal make several drushes on the verse. One of them is Al Tikre Ale Ayin Ela Ole Ayin, right? It's not just that he's one who has a lot of people looking at him, but he's one that should be blessed with the bracha being above the eye. Above the eye meaning above this eye. You've got to be working with this eye.
Right.
You've got to be in the deeper space. Right. When you do that,
so ayin doesn't mean chachma.
It does, but again, layers. There's outer chachma, and then we go deeper and go, oh, it's that. You want me to be living over there. Right. I need to be above the physical din perspective of the world. I want to be in a more spiritual, loving, connected, rachamim, chesed, compassionate aspect.
Right,
of
and then chachamim sounds it's not going back to the aleph. It's not like
it is. Ale ayin, going. You need to be have an. You need to have an eye that is ole, that is not stuck down here.
Right.
Not stuck in this part, but going deeper, and that's the bracha to Yosef Tzadik. So, we want to know what's the pshat in this Gemara. Again, Yaakov is giving brachas to everybody, and of course, Maisa Avosim Labanim. This is the end of Sefer Bereishis, so he's giving brachas to everyone. And at the end of the Chumash, Moshe is doing the same thing. Oops, Yaakov is giving it to the Shvatim, and then Moshe is giving it to the Shvatim. This is how everything has to end with a bracha, right? I believe this is where the minhag is to end things with a bracha. Is we see that Sefer Bereishis and the end of the Avos ends with a bracha. The end of the Chumash is Moshe. It's over. Okay, you got to end with a bracha because something just happened. Let's reach up and bring that down. Let's like make that real, right? And like bring a flow into the world. Something's taking place. So, and of course Yaakov and Moshe representing. They're both das. Yaakov is a b'chin of das, right? Avraham is Yaakov. Moshe Rabbeinu is keneged das, right? Too much for right this moment, but they're both das. That's what the Sfarim say. One of them represents the Panemius of das, one of the Chitonis of das. But either way, they're both das, which is something's happening. We have to do something about it, right? Because they see the relationship between experience and then action. What can come from that? So we want to know, how do you get to bracha? So hopefully by now, we've made it really clear. It's not just that you go and give and do, but it's that you're living with such a perspective that the giving is natural, right? But this Gemara seems to imply something else. This Gemara seems to say, if you want bracha, where's bracha shore? Hidden. So pasha pshat, what's pasha pshat in this Gemara? If you want bracha,
don't hide your abundance.
Hide your abundance. That's the pasha pshat, that's what Rashi says. And the Gemara implies it explicitly in the following words. Gives an example of like not counting. Don't go around and count all your stuff, because the more you count it, you're making it physical, right? And so now, you know, you can't. Mm-hmm. So what is, why would that work? Why does that work?
Sneas.
Yeah, what does that have to do with sneas?
Oh, maybe because if once you see something, then you're bringing it further down into physical reality. So if you keep something hidden, it's closer, it's connected, the olive.
Yes. Good. So that's going to be our level aleph pshat over here, is that if you want bracha, you have to kind of like mida keneged mida. If you keep things hidden down here, in a sense, you kind of keep it connected to a space that's hidden up there. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's the pshat, the pasha pshat in Rashi, which I apologize, I forgot to bring it over here, but the Reishis Chachma expresses it as well. He says, Ode, Tsarich lahastir maisa velola galosim. You're doing good deeds. Hide them, don't reveal them. Kedeperish bezoar, like it says in the Zohar, shekol ha'oseh dvarav beseser, anyone who does their work in hiding, habracha shora alav. You're going to have bracha sitting all over you. It's going to be great. V'hu al derech sheperish razal in Tainis. This is like the Gemara that we saw, that ain't a bracha shora, ela bedavar asamim in ayin. Bracha only comes to a place that's hidden from the eye. Zelashonam, I think at this point now he's quoting the Zohar, that says, olifna kutshabrichu sasim v'galia. Right? The teaching of God is hidden and revealed. Galia, hu beidina dilatata. When something is revealed, galia, like legalot, when it's revealed, it is the house of din below. So anything that's, why is it din? Why is it din that this is real as opposed to when it's conceptual?
God,
it could stop, it could exist.
It's constrained.
That's right, it's constrained. It's only this. Once I create a candle holder, it is not something else. Right? So the world that is revealed, in a sense, is a world of din, because it now has finite borders and limitations, and I can separate it from everything else. Sasim, hidden, when things are hidden, hu asar dekol birkan nafki mitaman. It is asar, the place, dekol birkan, that all blessing, nafki, comes out mitaman from there. Right? that anything that's hidden is still connected to pure potential, infinite possibility, and therefore all bracha comes when you can see that hidden place. Ubegin kach, and because of this, kol milui de barnash, all the things of a barnash is a person, a ben adam, de inun bestimu, that you keep hidden, birka'in shayin alav, the bracha will be shore on it. V'kol de'inun be'isgalia, and anything that you keep revealed, hu aser de'beidina shayin alav. You put it in a house of din, right? So it's shayach to limitation. Begin de'iu aser de'isgalia, because it's a place of revelation, it's revealed. V'kula iu, this is what Kenny was saying, all of this is beraza ilah, it mimics a hidden reality, a secret of from above, kigavna de la ela, because you're making it like it is in the deep world. So when you do things down here that model what's happening up there, right? So there's a certain alignment that happens. You put yourself in a certain aligned space, and that actually brings down a certain shefa into the world. So when you leave things open out here, so you're leaving yourself up to Malchus, which is the world of Galia, which is the world of revelation, which is where there's din, based in. When you were hiding things and you keep things hidden in your tsanua, so again, you're in alignment with things that are more deep, more hidden, and so you're trying to a certain bracha that comes down into the world. Yeah?
At the end of the day, there are things that are supposed to be brought all the way down. I mean, Torah, right? If we kept it in the space of, like, chachma, then it would never be actualized. And any maisa tov, and any going out to the world, so... Yeah.
I agree.
So clearly it's not a mila necessarily to be, I mean, I guess this is Rabbi Gershenfeld's whole word, you're not supposed to be on a mountain and stay up there at all times. So like, what's the mila of staying sinu? Or closer to...
Great. So we're not going to come to say this is wrong because this is right. The Chazal say it, it's clear in the Kabbalah, in the Zohar this way, the Rishis Chachma understands it this way. I think it's the Pashup Shat and Rashi, and I think that when you go across the board, by and large, this is a klal that's ironclad, and if you have something that's important to you, keep it to you. That's like an ironclad. If it's really, really important, the more you put it out there, the more you run the risk of it being shayach to be dina dilatata, like he's saying, right? But if we really had time, we can go into like how does ayin hara work? Because that's what he's really trying to say is when you keep things hidden, yes, there's an alignment with above, and it also means not shayach to the beis din out here, right? Meaning the world and world perception of what's taking place, which has an impact on life. But I agree with you, and that's why we're going to bring the other shot, maybe a deeper shot, which is, by and large, a true reality. But sometimes, you got to go out there. You have to put yourself out there. You have to put things out there, right? Like, I want to hide the fact that I have money so that I get a bracha in money. So that means I can't buy a house, I can't buy a car, I can't eat food, I can't do, but it can't be. That clearly can't be what it's telling you to do, right? So no, you can live your life, right? I can't let anybody know that I have a good relationship, that I'm married, so I have to tell everyone that I'm single. No, not what the Gemara is saying, right? So you do have to be in the world. So then what happens on that side, right? Some things that don't need to be revealed, I think that is the Eitzah that we're getting here. If it doesn't have to be shared, why are you sharing it? What are you gaining from that? Likely, I would say, al pi rov, it's boosting your ego. Yeah, that's what it's doing. If there's not a good reason to be sharing it, it doesn't have to be shared, what are you doing? You're opening yourself up for beit dina dilatata. When you could be kashur, you can be connected to sasim, asur, dekol, birka, and nafka mitaman. You could be connected to this world where all the bracha comes from. Why are you doing it? That only answers up for part of it, part of the things, which is your question. What about everything else? Right? Am I only shaykh to bracha on the things that I hide? Okay. Because the mashmaos of this gemara is ein ha bracha shora ella.
Right.
There is only bracha here. Really? Yeah.
Is there what to be medayik in the way the gemara uses? Meaning why sama versus tsanua or I mean the reshachal quotes? To say so, meaning is there a reason to use that word specific?
The answer is absolutely. but I don't know. But yes.
What's how?
For sure, the answer is yes, but I don't know.
We're saying like mina ayin, but we know there's. Like, it didn't describe what kind of ayin. We know there's different kinds of ayin. Like, ayin ru, ayin tov. We also just described that ayin does the exact opposite of what's being. It's literally a complete stare at the weird.
Good. So let's go to the next piece.
We're going to answer
your question and this question, okay, and cool. We'll go together. Because obviously that's going to be our other side. And we can say it out and then we'll read it inside. But the Kedushas Levi says, like, such an awesome, beautiful, amazing pshat, which is. It's not that bracha only exists in things that you hide. Bracha, as potential abundance and flow and movement, exists everywhere all the time, right? Potentially. Everything is connected to Hashem, right? Because if you're a Baal, if you're a Chacham, right, you are going deeper. You're looking in and seeing that there's a deeper reality behind everything, conceptually, and then, of course, the connection back to Hashem. So this is really everything is shaykh to bracha. The question is, what part of things do you focus on when you look at life? Are you focusing on the outer aspect of life or the inner aspect of life? Bracha is shoreh when you're focused on the aspect of life that's samui min ayin, that you can't see. Everything has a part that you can see and a part that you can't see. And if you're connected to the part of life, the part that you can't see, the world is your oyster, right? As they say. You're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha that exists at all times everywhere. Because you're connected to the aspect of life that is samui min ayin.
It's what you're focusing on.
Huh?
It's what you're focusing on.
It's not just what you're focusing on, but what your focus is in life. Right? And yes, of course, you can bring it into what you're focusing on in a particular situation.
Right.
But in life, as you go through life, are you more focused on what the eye sees or what the eye doesn't see? Which is a deeper level of chachma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's sami min ayin, like you're saying, it's hit what that which is hidden from the eye.
Mm.
Right? Well, let's see it over here. So, he's speaking about a Gemara over here by Beis Hillel. We don't have to go into it right now, but he says Hillel was tamid davuk ba'ayin. It's a big word that the Kedushas Levi says in a lot of places, that Beis Hillel is connected to this place of ayin. Ayin over here means like not, nothingness, right? Like aleph, yud, nun. Lachein, ma sheposeach shari bracha ein chiddush. This that Beis Hillel helps to open up the gates of bracha is not a chiddush. Why? Ki kol ha-davuk ba'ayin. Anyone that's connected to ayin, poschin lo share bracha. He opens up the gates of bracha in this world. Kamaymer chazal, like it says in the Gemara in Tainus, ein ha bracha ela bedavar hasami mina ayin. You want bracha? You have to be connected to the part of reality that's sami mina ayin, that the eye doesn't see. It's not natural to see a world of beautiful goodness, life, flow, vitality, that's something that is a connection to Hashem. And of course, just if you want to put this one in your bag, ayin, whenever you see it with an aleph, right, is that's a midah of keser. It's the highest midah of the 10 spheros. You're going all the way up. It's the thing that can't be grasped. That's why it sits above your head.
Tov?
It's the ikr, the tov, that we're talking about.
Oh, yesh ba'ein?
Huh?
Is the yesh
is chachma, ayin is keser, so yesh is me'ayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the word yesh me'ayin. He created yesh chachma from ayin keser. He took infinite potential, which is why it's a circle, right? A crown is metaphorically a circle that rests above your head. It doesn't go in your head, it's above your head. It's above your ability to perceive. But when you connect to it, you're royal, right? You're like, wow, if I realize there's a crown on my head, I'm connected to the king. Connected to an absolute reality. Yeah.
See, the fact that we call it ayin is very like Zen over here. It's like connected to the emptiness, like the space. Is that also something he's talking about here?
Yes. Much bigger discussion. We're learning about chachma, but we're not. But if we were learning about ayin, we'd go there. But yeah, and I think that's the people who get it right in Zen are getting this. You could get it wrong and think it means nothingness. You could think you could read this. You could read Torah and think ayin means nothingness. It doesn't mean nothingness. It means no thingness.
Because it's nullified.
It's the thingness of things is not. but there's something else, right? And whatever that is that's our relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if you're getting it right, that's where it takes you, right? V'hasomi mina ayin, the aspect of life that the eye can't see, who should davak l'midas ayin? Shehu l'mala mina ayin. You're connected to the aspect of no-thingness, which is above the eye. Okay. That's the Kedusha Slavin. He says, that's really the ikkar of how you bring bracha into this world. Because as you're going through life, you're always asking, okay, like, where is Hashem over here? What does Kadosh Baruch Hu want from me over here? Like, everything is connected back up. Nothing is just the surface. We don't look at anything in life face value. And when you do that, again, not only does that make you happy and joyous, but that's going to bring bracha into your life. You looking for it is poschin shari bracha. It actually opens up the sharim. Meaning, it's almost like quantum physics. The fact that you're looking for it creates the space for it to come. If you didn't look for it, one could, well, let's say, well, was the bracha there, or did you look for it, make the bracha? And the answer is, if you don't look for it, so we would say the bracha is not even there. But when you look for it, it's as if it was there the whole time, waiting for you, right? Like that type of, you know, Schrodinger's...
crazy,
you
know, yeah.
Like that type of reality of, you're poseach shari bracha by living your life with that reality.
How do you know that study? That's a Kabbalah.
Kabbalah. It's in the Arve Nachal.
Actually, we don't hold of it.
Huh?
Brachos goes through it. He says, if you walk into your town and you see that there's a...
Don't want to go there right now.
No?
Nope. Nope.
Feels like we do.
Oh, the Gemara.
Nope. Nope. You can't make me.
Is it because
spent all week. Nope. We're going to finish what we started. Okay, let's see this piece over here. We'll get through it. We can come back to it.
Yeah.
Not for now. Not a chance. Okay. Arve Nachal is Rav Shimon Eibishitz. He wrote a sefer called the Levushei Srad on the Shulchan Aruch. He's a massive Talmud Chacham. He also wrote in Kabbalah. And so he wrote a parish Ala Torah. And again, he's going to bring us back into Yaakov and Yosef over here and this major, major idea. V'zeu inyan Yaakov avinu al v'sham. Shelo kibel habrachos ela behesach etas. Okay, he starts off by saying, Yaakov, we saw Yaakov get bracha from from Yitzchak, and it happened in a way that was like hesach etas, like Yitzchak didn't even know he was giving Yaakov the brachas. That's a weird way for a bracha to happen in life. There was pachad and hachna, there was fear. Hutzorch lomar anochi Esav, he like had to lie. It's a weird way to get bracha. Ki'ilu Esav roi lebracha v'lo hu. It's a strange story. Again, we're not in that story right now, but why is that how it had to happen? V'zeu inyan maimaram zal, this is the idea of the Gemara in Tainus. Eina bracha metzuya ela b'davar asama min ayin. Why? V'inyanu hu, ima shekasuv be'etz chayim, it's like what it says in the Arizal, Shartanta, inyan hachushim, when we look at the different senses, there's re'iyah, shmiyah, re'ach, dibur, which corresponds to yud, and then hey, and then vav, and then hey, but we don't have to say that, right? So there's sight, and sound, and smell, and speech. Ki hara'iyah, seeing, nimshach mechachma, right? That's what we're speaking about, ayin tov this whole time. It's the ayin, right? The re'iyah, the seeing, that comes from this space of chachma. V'hu achush ha'yoser elyon, it's the highest from all of our senses. V'amnam, b'chinas ha'keser, right? The highest level. Hu b'chinas ha'gulgolas. It's, in Kabbalah, it's the skull itself. It's the crown, the thing that holds your brain. U'lerov ha'alamo, and because it's so hidden, ein chush nimshach mimenu. It's so deep that it's your sixth sense, if you will, right? You've got all these other senses, but there's no explicit sense, there's no physical sense that's connected to that sphera. It's too high. It doesn't fit. Just like it doesn't fit in your mind, it doesn't fit in your senses. You can sense it literally, but it's sixth, right? U'bechina zu, this bechina, what we've been calling keser, is nikra, it's called samay min ha'ayin. It's the part, right? Like the Kedushas Levi said, it's the part that's hidden from the eye. Kihu lamala mechosh ha'ra'os, it's even higher than seeing. So you have to use your mind to get to this place. V'zeh sod al tikri ale ayin ela ole ayin, right? That's like by Yosef HaTzadik, right? Don't say alei ayin that everybody was looking at him, but olei ayin that he goes above the eye. What's above the eye, which is chachma? He goes up to this higher space, the ayin, the keser. Rotzalomer shenis ale b'madregaso. He goes higher than his level. V'mala mebechinas ayin, goes higher than the eye. V'ein ayin sholetis bo, and the eye doesn't watch it. V'zeu inyan Yosef. That's the power of Yosef atzadik. Shemis ale bevav shel shem besod hadas. Yosef is the power of the Vav, the Das, that connects all the way back up to Keser, right? Don't want to go through Vizeo Ole Ayin, don't want to go through all the technical parts here, but what he was saying was Yosef is the one who's able to be down here in this world, but when he looks up, he always only ever sees how things are working out. Atem chashavtem alai ra'a, you thought to do bad to me. Halokim chashva latova. He's looking up here. The Rashi says he was always saying, Baruch Hashem, right? Paro says, you're so great, you're a chacham, you're a navon. He says, biladai, it's not me. Everything is, it's not me, it's not down here, it's all good, it's Hashem, things are working out, like, That's Yosef Atzadik. He's Yud Sof, and that's, again, over here, he has this thing called Ayin Tov. He lives with this deeper perspective of Chachma.
Yosef and Yaakov are the same, in this regard, right? What you're saying, you said one was Panini, one was...
Yes. Okay. Yeah, but we're not going to go down Yaakov and Yosef here. Let's just, at least, to get us through, we have another 5 minutes just to get through this.
We have time.
I don't know, the last couple of weeks has been, like, you know, making sure.
Yeah.
I think
5 to 12.
Starting to get later now.
Yeah, if you're good. Look, if
you have 2 minutes.
2 more minutes.
I've got all day. I mean, you don't have to convince me. This is, you know, the most pleasurable thing on earth.
Should we save questions for after?
Just let's get this next Nakuda.
Yeah.
Just to bring us back to the Koshel Bracha, he just says such a beautiful pshat in pshat. The Ben Yoyada, the Ben Ish Chai, says, okay, now we understand everything in life. Right, that if you want a good life, this is what we started with last week. We saw the Maggid of Mezuch, Tov Shem Meshem and Tov, and that was what we were working with. Which is, if you want Tov Shem, if you want things to be good down here, right? So Meshem and Tov, you have to have a Shemen Chachma, the way you see the world, Tov that connects all the way up, right? And so that's going this way. Just this whole week, we're bringing it back out, which is Tov Ayin Hu Yivarach, right? You see that, and that's going to be expressed Kinosei Melach Meladal. You'll be able to give it over. Why do you want that person to be the one holding your Koshel Shel Bracha? So he gives a really, really Kabbalistic pshat first, and then a really Kabbalistic pshat second, and a slightly Kabbalistic pshat third, and that's what we'll look at. Because it's easier to understand. Inami. Mishahu Tov Ayin, a person who sees the world as good. They see the good in themselves, they see the good in the world, they see the good in others, they see life has potential flowing with bracha. Yesh lo koach yoser, he's got strong power, lamate kagvuros, he can actually change the din in the world, right? There's gvuros in the world, there's things that appear as din, and then there's the ability to bring sweetness to them. He can sweeten the din, he can sweeten the gvura. Shehem remuzim beyayin. Yayin is wine, is red. It's din. You only get to wine by crushing something. It takes a bechin of din to get there. And we have to be mamtik them. If you'll see, there's a minug in some places to add water to the wine. That's like the mitukha dinim, right? But it's this idea that there's bracha in the world, but we want all bracha to like be good, right? Just because there's flow doesn't mean it feels good. Sometimes the flow doesn't. So a person with an ayin tov, it's not just that he sees well, but he sees well affects the kos, affects the world down here. Shebekos she'ola mispar os ayin, right? So yayin is gematria.
70.
Right? Ayin, the letter ayin is?
70.
70, right? So he's saying they go together. And of course, Kos is gematria.
It's 86.
Elokim. Good. Nice. So like, so din, a kos is a kli, which is essentially din. It's finite, and what's inside of that din is wine, which is din. It's gvura, and it's gematria 70, which is din. So this thing is a lot of din. You know, it's a kli that's din, with wine that's din, gematria ayin that's din, right?
Wait, why is 70 din?
70 is din because of two reasons. One is that he says, which is the word ayin is the letter ayin, which is everything I see naturally, not the ayin tov, just ayin. Mm-hmm. That which I see in the world is din. But it's also the idea of like it's 70. It's down here. It's a completion in this world, right? And with an ayin tov, you're gonna take all of that din. You're gonna say, yeah, but all of that is good, and all of that is flow, and all of that's like connected up. That's exactly what you want. You want somebody, and this is not just for the kosher at your table, but this is for everything in your life. You wanna be the walking kosher bracha that when you see gvuras in the world, you're like, no, this is okay, and this is gonna work out, and something good's gonna come from this, and like we're gonna make it through this, and you stay connected. Ki hamituk yihye al yidei hachesed. You're mamtik the din of gvura when you're connected to some flow of chesed. Umishahu tov ayin, somebody who has a good eye, muchrach shegover bo midas hachesed. If you have a good eye, it must mean that the strong point in you is this midah of chesed. Vahu achuz b'midas hachesed yoser. Your mom is connected to flow and goodness. Ulchein roi l'seis la koshel bracha. It makes sense to give him the koshel bracha. Shebo mamtikim es gvuros. You sweeten up all the judgments. You sweeten up the dinim in the world. Haramuzim b'yayin that are hinted to and alluded to in the wine itself. Ki ayayin, like we said, heim besod gvuros. Wine is like gvuros. Kenode va'ayde habracha. Mamtikim b'chasadim. When you come with bracha, you're like the Maharal said, you are the koshel bracha. Which part of it? The bracha part of the koshel bracha. You fix everything in the world. That's why I didn't bring it this week, but the Baal Shem Tov says the whole world, right, is really like a kos, and there's dinim and gurus in the world, and when you have an ayin tov and you're looking for the good and everything, you're literally being mamtik the dinim. You're not just having a good perspective, you're opening up share bracha. You're changing the world. So it, again, back to like we said before by Beis Hillel, when you're looking at the ayin, what's samim in ayin, you're connecting to Hashem, as you're actually being poseach shari bracha and bringing new opportunity in the world by seeing it that way. By shifting your consciousness, you shift the world itself. Right? That's his major piece over here. So being a chacham is not just about being smart, and it's not just about feeling good, but it's about having a powerful influence on reality. That's the beauty that comes when you say, I want to be a chacham, I want to be a lomed mikol adam, I want to be a roas and nolad, which of course now we understand why a chacham has those character traits. One is he's lomed mikol adam, he's from everything, there's what to learn from everything. He's just lomed. Nothing is as it is. There's something to gain from everywhere, which is this constant like inflow. And of course, roas and nolad, right, because I can see to a place that's not yet physical, right? It's in the future. I can see to the future because I can see how things potentially can go and move. And looking in that way, which is not, you know, I just see things as they are. He's roes and nolad. He's lomin mikol adam that brings bracha into the world. Fine. Yeah. Question.
Is that so? That first from here, is that why wine is bitter and then it makes you really happy? It's like din. It's like on the outside din doesn't taste so good. I mean, depend. And then deeper inside of it, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it really just depends which one you buy. I haven't seen it, but that makes sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then just to ask back on the Avrei Nachal, mm-hmm. I'm a bit confused. I understand that the Ri is the highest, mm-hmm. but I mean,
from the physical senses.
I was gonna say I'm pretty sure the Marshan Brachos Membeis is that Reach is the most Ruchani. So I'm confused as to how steer in Kabbalah, whatever, something I don't understand.
No. The eyes, ears, nose, mouth. That's it goes according to where they are placed on your face, literally. So this is actually the highest.
Yeah.
Right? And then it goes down to ears, and then it goes down to nose, and then it goes down to
mouth. Makes sense.
Right? Too much right now. The Reach is a whole sugya. And it is, in a sense, it is more ruchani. This is like kol hanashama tahalaka haluka. You're speaking about this gemara over there.
Yeah.
Kol neshima v'neshima.
Yeah, yeah. The one thing that you don't get satiated from. The
right. Gemara. Oh, okay. No. Yeah, I'm thinking about it different. This is by the besamim.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yes. Also.
Just anything that like how is the ruch? It's higher but lower. Like.
That's where Hashem blew into Adam, right?
If you're lying down, it's the highest place.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to think. I'm like,
it says Reach is going to be the midah of Mashiach. Mashiach is going to have this midah of Reach, that he's going to be able to smell Yirah Shemayim in the world. and it's mashma that Mordechai HaTzadik had this bechina of reach. He was besamim, this aspect of besamim, more drawer, right? It makes the drasha on Mordechai, right? So let's make it really simple because it's a long conversation. But if you make it really, really simple, smell is the most spiritual aspect of your personal reality. Sight and sound is you taking in some other reality. So it's higher because it can go further. It's not you, right? It's taking in that, where the smell is more connected to who you are. When you see something over there, so you're not taking in the actual mountain across the road. When you hear music from over there, you're not taking in the guitar and the music. When you smell, there's actually something that's now going into you. Like with taste, it's mamish. You're putting something in your body, right? So this is perceiving of something that's out there, but it stays out there to a degree.
So it's the best way to...
Hearing is closer. Hearing bridges the gap.
Yeah.
Right? Hearing is the bechinas neshama, where it actually bridges something out there, so now you can actually, you understand it, you can remember it, right? Okay, but I'm trying to oversimplify.
Okay. It's the first thing that comes inside you, but it's still the most ruchani of things that come inside you, so it's the best indicator of where you're holding, the spiritual achievement that you're attaining in some sense.
I don't know.
The first thing that comes... Yeah, sorry.
No, I didn't understand what you were saying.
It's the highest point of where things start to enter inside of you, meaning the sight and ears don't go in you, smell goes in,
right?
But it's still the highest, so that's why it's the best indicator of where you're holding, like Mashiach, and where you're holding spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it's hard to say that sound doesn't come into you.
It does. I mean, it's a sound wave, right? But I think the idea with sound, again, is that, like, you're talking to me, you don't come into me, right? But the concept comes, I'm getting a concept from you. I'm getting the pleasure of something that's out there, and I interpret it. There's an interpretation, right, of something that's outside of me, but it doesn't come all the way in. I'm trying to, in my mind, I'm translating Kabbalistic language to our language, and not prepared so much in that way to truly try to make it over. But the way I understand it is kind of the way I said it before, which is, I can't.